spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
And I'll go for Israel.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This public service program is prepared under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story, by Morton Wishengrad, is entitled The Day of the Shadow. Featured today is Roger DeCoven as the chaplain and Peter Capel as Jacob.
Listen. Listen to the silence.
I have come from the land of the day of the shadow. I have seen the naked cities and the dead lips. Someone must speak of this. Someone must speak of the memory of things destroyed. O Lord, my God, and God of my fathers, break open a shaft in the darkness and let me speak, for I have a right to speak. I am the chaplain who stood before the crematorium of Belzen. I buried 23,000 Jews. I have a right to speak. I stood last month in Krakow when liberated Jews were murdered. I have no pretty things to tell you, but I must tell you. God of Israel, forgotten things are not forgotten, and blood does not wash clean from the hands. Someone must speak for the anguish. Someone must speak of the day of the shadow. Someone must bring you the terrible wonder of their hope. This is what I saw with my eyes. But first, I must tell you the things I did not see, but things nevertheless that are plain and written down and true. Listen, the adding machines of the statistician. The Jews of Poland, before and after.
1938, Jewish population of Poland.
3,300,000.
1945.
475,000.
Survivors, 15%.
Dead, 85%.
Czechoslovakia,
before and after.
1938, Jewish population of Czechoslovakia.
354,000.
1945.
60,000. Dead, 82%. Lithuania, before and after.
1939, Jewish population of Lithuania.
150,000.
1945.
7,000.
Dead, 95%.
Germany, before and after.
1939, remaining Jewish population of Germany.
275,000.
1945.
Less than 5,000.
There were some promises Hitler kept.
Romania, 415,000 dead.
Hungary, 110,100 dead.
Austria, 86,000 dead. France, 80,000 dead.
Occupied Russia, 1,250,000 dead.
Let us say the prayer for the dead.
Holland.
Iskadal.
Belgium.
Iskadash.
Italy.
Shmeirabo.
Denmark.
Yorma Devroch Hirusei.
Yugoslavia.
Yamlich Malchusei.
Estonia.
Bahayachun.
Luxembourg.
Uviomechun.
Norway.
Uchae.
Greece.
Yohol Desis Roel.
Latvia.
Bagolo Uvisman Koriv.
Bulgaria.
Niemru. Omen.
My totals show that of a pre-war Jewish population in Europe, 80% are dead, 20% survive.
For the 20% who survive, malnutrition, tuberculosis, secondary anemia, diseases of the cardiovascular system, etc., must all reduce the life expectancy of the survivors.
Inasmuch as the survivors are predominantly males, with in some areas a negligible percentage of females capable of procreation, the birth rate may be expected to reveal a profound imbalance.
In brief, it would appear that the biological prognosis of the remaining Jews of Europe is not favorable.
Prognosis, etc., statistics. What good are the figures? Can you comprehend the ghastliness so vast? I cannot. Let the adding machines be still. The cup is empty. The light has gone out. A single child in a single bed, a child dying of fever, that is comprehensible. But 4,750,000 dead of 6 million who once lived, that is beyond comprehension. God is merciful and men do not weep over statistics. Let the numbers and the percentages be for the cost accountant who has no flesh. Let us speak now of the living. The living who are few in number and therefore comprehensible. Let us speak of the man and the child I saw in the American zone of occupation.
They tell me I have to go back to Poland.
Please believe me, Jacob, I tried to stop it.
I understand, Chaplain. Here we are not admitted, and in Poland, once again, there are pogroms. Chaplain, at least admit this boy.
I'll try. But, Jacob, perhaps in Poland he can find his parents.
He does not want to go to Poland. Moshe, speak to the American rabbi. Tell him what you want.
I want to stay here.
But this is a concentration camp.
I want to stay here.
Chaplain, we mustn't make him cry again. Last night we found a place to sleep, but he cried all night. You know why he cried? Tell the chaplain, Moshe.
It was different. I was afraid. I want to stay here.
A woman gave us a bed in her house. He was frightened of the bed.
I want to stay here.
He cried for 3 hours. Chaplain, do you know what I did? I let him sleep on the floor. That was better, but he still cried. So I left the light burning.
I want to stay here.
Then I found some barbed wire, and I put it over the window, just like in the concentration camp. But he cried. So I walked up and down like the sentry. And then he stopped crying, and he slept on the floor.
I want to stay here.
He wants to be back in the concentration camp, Chaplain. He wants to be restored to his normal existence. For him, it is not enough to bring light. First, you must teach him to see. Come, Moshe. Come with me to Poland. Perhaps we shall find the concentration camp.
Jacob Dvoretsky, wait. Wait for me. You come because you pity us? No. There is no progress through pity. I'm glad you said that. We do not pity ourselves. We do not beat our breasts. Moshe, tell the chaplain how your father died.
There is nothing to tell. My father was not the only one. They took 1,000 Jews that day.
Tell him. You saw it. You were there.
Those who had faith, they were not afraid. They stood on line waiting to go into the crematorium. Then my father found a piece of broken glass.
To kill himself?
No. Not to kill himself.
But The broken glass, what was that for?
To cut his garment. When someone dies, he told me, you stand up and cut your garment. First he did it, then they all did it. 1,000 men stood on line and cut their garments before they died.
Moshe, were they mourning for themselves? Is that why they did it?
They mourned for those who died without faith. Father said it is a terrible thing to be a martyr and not have a cause. Father was a Jew. He believed he had a cause.
Thank you. I understand. Now, let me go with you.
You there, come off the line.
But they're waiting for food and clothing. This is an UNRWA depot. They have a right to stand on line.
Please come here. I think you shouldn't wait in line.
But you have no right to say that.
Believe me, sir, I'm trying to be their friend. You're Jews. You've suffered a great deal. But if some of these people see you online, they'll get angry. It's for your own good.
You mean it's for their own best interest that they be treated badly?
Yes. Treat them decently, you'll have another pogrom. It's for their own interest.
He means well, Chaplain. Come, Moshe. I think you will sleep in Poland. If you just close your eyes a little, I think you will be able to see the barbed wire.
Why come to me, Chaplain? There's nothing I can do for these people. There's no discrimination now.
No. The Germans treated us as Jews. The Russians say you must treat us as Poles. And the man in charge of the line says if he treats us as Poles, there will be another pogrom.
Sir, isn't there anything you can do for this man?
Well, to be frank, while there's no discrimination now in Poland, nothing.
Once I had a little business before the Germans invaded Poland.
I wouldn't pursue that if I were you. Take my advice. Some man probably bought it in good faith. If he has to give it up, there will be...
more pogroms.
Well, don't blame me. That's how it is. Well, look, Jacob, take my advice. Leave Poland.
Where shall I go?
Wherever you want to. You're liberated.
Then I should like to go to Palestine. Palestine is home. They say that home is a place where they've got to take you in.
Jacob, I'm afraid that right now, Palestine is impossible.
Then, Chaplain, perhaps you will let me come to America.
It's not up to me. I'm afraid that's impossible.
There are other places you're still free to emigrate.
Very well, I shall go to England.
Oh, no. That's out of the question, of course.
I understand. There are two kinds of countries. Countries where Jews cannot live, and countries where Jews cannot enter.
Well?
You have a suggestion?
I don't know. Why don't you see my superior? Sure, go to see him. You can't lose anything more, can you?
I'm a very busy man.
He's a very hungry man.
I was hungry, too. I'm a Pole. In Poland, you get used to hunger.
And homelessness.
Yes, you get used to homelessness.
This man suffered a great deal. Can't something special be done for him?
Well, if we could establish his political reliability...
He spent 6 years in a concentration camp.
What was your offense?
I refused to stop being a Jew.
Not good enough. We need to prove his political reliability. Only political prisoners receive special treatment. Excuse me, gentlemen, I'm rather busy.
Cable America if they let me.
Perhaps. But I know what I have to do. Come with me. A woman has just given birth to a child. Things are never so bad but that there isn't someone worse off than you are. Come, Chaplain. Chaplain, gave birth to a baby. Her man is dead and she has consumption. But here is a baby.
Leave this chocolate bar for her, Jacob. It's all I have now. We'll get her something else later.
Do you hear? They think Israel has died. But Israel dies in childbirth.
What a time to be born in.
Is there a better time? Or another time? What is my strength that I should wait? What is my end that I should be patient? You see, I remember the words of Job.
Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not perish at birth? Why did the knees receive me? And wherefore the breasts that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest.
As a hidden, untimely birth. As infants that never saw light.
You shouldn't have done that, Jacob. I saw you leave a piece of bread.
Why not? You gave me two pieces. Chaplain, let the pauper help the pauper.
But, Jacob, you can't afford it. You need food.
That's the trouble. Every day the body needs food. But doesn't the conscience also require something?
To lie in the gutter and not to forsake dignity.
Do you marvel at it? There can be cleanliness in the gutter.
Jacob, what's going to become of you?
I don't know. The pretexts change. But the hatred remains the same.
Yes.
Jacob told me. Thank you for the chocolate.
How's your baby?
He lives.
Is there something, anything I can do for you?
Maybe you can find a woman who will nurse him for me. I have no milk.
I'll try.
I shouldn't have had the baby, should I? But my husband, he wants...
Don't try to speak.
It's all right. Jacob, you knew my husband.
Yes. Yes, I knew him.
I think he was a good man. I'm not sure. He wasn't a soldier. He wasn't shot on the battlefield. They didn't even kill him in hot blood. He stood on the line and waited his turn. They processed him. Chaplain, if my baby lives, his father died a Jew. He must live a Jew.
Chaplain, you will go back and tell them that there is still a remnant.
Yes, Jacob. I'll go back and tell them.
Tell them we hold fast. Tell them that the normalcy of the Jew in the European diaspora is not the inferior category of the tolerated Jew, but the Jew who holds his faith like a Torah.
I wish you could tell them yourself.
It can't be. I stay here and I wait. It's hard to wait. The synagogue's down. The yeshiva's broken. The books torn. Tell them not to forget the books.
But the food comes first, Jacob, and you must not give away your own food.
I'll try not to do it again, but that is how I pay for the grave of Moshe's father. The good deed to pay for blood.
You mean that, Jacob, don't you?
Yes. Sometimes in the middle of the night, I wake up screaming. And I'm ashamed. I think to myself, I think Jacob Voretsky, there is a Judaism to build. And Jacob Voretsky, you are only a liberated Jew without a home. But that's foolish. One man can't build a whole world. But one man can give away a piece of bread. I know what has to be done now. The small things are what count. You teach a little boy how to study, and you build a world. When a man falls down, you take his hand and you help him up, and you build a world. You stay honest, and you don't sell your heart, and you build a world. Such small ways, Chaplain. And that's all there is to it. I must have been a fool not to have known it before.
Jacob Voretsky, I put Job's question to you. Dost thou still hold fast to thine integrity? Blaspheme God and die. The miracle of Poland. They held fast to their integrity. They waited for life. And there came darkness. In the fields they found thistles upon the wheat and weeds among the barley. For them there was no green thing. For them an extermination was determined. The words of solace they received were from the tongue of the stammerer. And yet they held fast. Jacob Voretsky, teach me. There is a stubbornness of cowardice and a stubbornness of faith. And one is true to the surface and one is true to the depths. God of Israel, let me speak in the anguish of my spirit of the day of the shadow. They held fast. Last month, I stood where the day was a shadow. Last month, I stood amid the obscenity of annihilation. Between Poland and America, how many miles is it? How many miles between the pity that does not heal the bruise and the terrible harvest of the red fruit? How many miles between the normalcy of starvation and the dreadful normalcy of the guilt obsession? Now I am home, and I know neither the distance nor the dimension nor the answer. I know only this. I have seen the naked cities. I have listened to the silence of the dead lips. Where is the shaft of light to break open the day of the shadow? And I know the surface must be true to the depths. Jacob Voretsky, the tree which is cut down must be planted again. Jacob Voretsky, stand fast where Israel has died in childbirth, for the seed is in the ground. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast, and thou shalt not fear, for thou shalt forget thy misery. Thou shalt remember it as waters that are passed away, and thy life shall be clearer than the noonday. Though there be darkness, it shall be as the morning.
copies of the script you have just heard may be obtained without cost by writing to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present Rabbi William G. Broder of Temple Bethel, Providence, Rhode Island. Speaking to you from Providence, Rabbi Broder.
Friends, you and I have listened just now to the stirring tale of Jacob Dvoretsky, an unusual name for an unusual man, one who survived both in spirit and in flesh the ordeal of the concentration camp. The name Dvoretsky carries great meaning. Translated freely from the Russian, it means the man from God's court. That name gives the key to a character which at all times can declare that a day in thy courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. The Jacob Dvoretsky, the courtiers of God, as it were, are the strongest links in the continuity of our people. In their godly courts, in their religious schools, their yeshivas, their houses of prayer, they learned from childhood the importance of simple things, and armed with these, with a smile, with a blessing, with a piece of bread, with a verse from the Bible, they walked through lands and years of terror. Though their feet were shackled, their spirits remember the rhythm of the courts of God where they grew up. Though they witnessed ghastly doings, their reservoirs of faith and courage remained pure and untouched. Thus they walked under the lash, in the shadow of the gallows, in the very stench of death, and they did not flinch. Because of this extraordinary valor, which even the least of the Jacob Dvoretskys possessed, the demonic scheme of the adversary miscarried, and a heroic remnant survives to bear witness, to right wrongs, to rear anew homes, houses for worship, and chambers for study, where new generations will be born, to learn once again that a day in thy court is better than a thousand elsewhere. We in American Israel are seeking to provide the Jacob Dvoretskys with bread, clothing, and shelter. They are daily providing us with magnificent examples how men may at all times walk with solemn dignity and quiet confidence, and how we also may transmute the day of the shadow into a day of triumph.
Thank you, Rabbi Broder. The Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrab. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Catons. Roger DeCoven was featured as the chaplain and Peter Capel as Jacob. The liturgical music was sung by cantor David Putterman, and the entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. If you would like a free copy of today's script, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This program is a public service of the National Broadcasting Company and comes to you each week at the same time through the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.